It's showcase number two for Celebrity Interview Podcast Week, and we're checking in with Kristen, Melissa, and Bobby, who are now Stick Figure Squad. Will their questions be able to draw out some good answers from our celebrity guest, Ptolemy Slocum? Find out on this episode of America's Next Top Podcaster. Welcome to America's Next Top Podcaster. I'm Brian Ibbett. We're in the middle of interview week, and we're checking in on Kristen, Melissa, and Bobby, the new Stick Figure Squad. They'll meet with Tom, and at the end of the episode, you'll hear their entry for this week's challenge. But before any of that, let's talk to Kristen about the new squad and their goals. I'm here with Kristen from, well, I guess we're calling it Team 5 for now.
Yeah.
Have you guys been working on a name? You've probably been working on the challenge that I gave you, right?
Yeah, the challenge mostly. Mondays are always tough for Melissa to record because of her cornhole contest.
Right. So, that's right, yeah.
Bobby and I kind of got to talk a little bit last night, but then we are gonna be back at it tonight.
Oh, cool. Very good. So how is the team, the new fresh team, gelling? It's you, Melissa, and Bobby as this team. How are you guys getting along so far?
Well, since we've only really been able to do it through the Discord chat, we seem to be doing okay.
Right, no voice-to-voice stuff yet. all right, so let's talk about the elimination and judging last night. How do you guys feel about that? I mean, I feel like all three teams did a lot better with this challenge than they did with the previous week's challenge. As the judges kind of were going, I feel like, you know, the judges still kind of hit you pretty hard on a couple things. Each of you pretty hard on a couple things, but. Well, I take that back. You guys actually probably came through the most unscathed out of any of the three teams. I mean, they loved what you guys put together.
Yeah, we went big and it paid off. We had some initial brainstorm ideas, and some of the things that we had brainstormed kind of played one-on-one to each other. I knew of what the topic we were going to go with, the Capgras syndrome, because being a true crime fan that I am, there's actually a true crime that happened from that someone suffered from Capgras syndrome and ended up killing his wife because he thought she was an imposter. So we kind of like rolled with that, and we really did pick a great topic, and luckily lucked out with getting some really great interviews.
Yeah, the interviews were spot on, and that doesn't diminish the rest of the production. You guys had really good production on your show, and great narration. I mean, it was a really, really good team effort. And I understand that all of that was despite the fact that your dog got skunked at the beginning of the
interview. Yes, I was on my way out the door from my previous house that I lived at, and my dog that is residing there still happened to get skunked and was typing in the Discord channel, "Guys, I'm not going to make it. I need to deal with my dog," as they were meeting. So, but I did learn a lot from last week because it just seemed a lot more producer heavy because we did only have one narrator. And Bobby was concerned about that at first, and I kind of let him know, I think with the way that we decided to go with, it would just made more sense to have only his voice and be more on the back end producing style and listening and editing. And some of the things that we did pick up on were things that we did edit, and we did we didn't want to have too many swooshes issue again. So
learning. That's right. Very good. And you're kind of going to be in that same situation with this week too, potentially, right? Because an interview is frequently, not always, but frequently one guest and one host, or one interviewer or one interviewee. So you might be in a situation again where it's limited voices. Although, you know, I say that, but there's always the style of podcast that's almost like a roundtable interview.
Well, Gabe and I, with our podcast, we've actually had several guests on actual, like, with us recording and also over Discord before. And okay. I actually kind of use that as an example with us being, obviously there's chemistry between Gabe and I for such a long-standing friendship, but I did let Bobby know. I was just like, it can be done. Just as long as you know what kind of questions to ask and who feels more comfortable asking which questions. And there can almost be a little bit more of like a TMS kind of podcast style of back and forth and more improv conversational interview.
And that's definitely a good thing. And the judges do tend to like that, is something that's a little bit more conversational, a little bit more comfortable sounding, as opposed to something more scripted. And here's a question, here's an answer, here's
a question. The people that get interviewed feel more comfortable in that kind of scenario, because they don't feel so much that, or they don't feel as they have to carry the conversation as much.
Yeah, totally makes sense. Very good. Well, you've got time with Tom tomorrow. What kinds of questions are you guys going to be asking him?
I think we're going to stick towards trying to get an idea of what format to go with. Again, obviously, an interview is kind of self-explanatory. There's lots of stuff you can look up to be a better person to interview somebody. But really, I think we're going to stick to trying to find a format that we think is compelling and interesting and still, you know, ultimately tells a story.
Yeah, that makes sense. And especially since this kind of has to still fit in, as do all the other projects, still fit in to feel like an episode in a series. And so the format will heavily dictate what you guys do on that front. Very good. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing what you guys are going to put together, and I'll be eavesdropping as you guys meet with Tom tomorrow, and I'll be eavesdropping on the interview too. So I'm excited to hear what you guys have for Tom and what do you have for Ptolemy.
Excellent. Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you, Kristen. Let's listen to their coaching session with Tom.
So Team 5, do you guys have a name?
Not yet.
Your name is not yet. Interesting choice. Scott.
Do you have a name for us? We're taking suggestions at this point.
If you don't want that, I'd probably just name you Jeff or something. We could talk about last week or not, because we're on new teams. I feel like, you know, that's up to you if you have questions about last week's feedback, or we can just focus entirely on the coming challenge.
That's up to Melissa. I don't have a lot of questions about what the Sock Puppets did.
I did get kicked for not going more personal.
I thought that too when I was listening. I was like, overcorrection, darn it. I think it should have been more mixed in there. And so I felt bad about that. Hey, you're still here, so that's all in the past. Now you know. But I was worried about it being too personal and not having enough science, and instead it was too much science and not enough personal.
Well, now I know.
So how are you guys going to approach the interview with Ptolemy?
Melissa, do you want to give the quick elevator pitch and then we'll get into it?
Yeah, sure. So we're thinking of we want to go in a more deeper kind of way and get really deep in his conversation. So we listened to an interview where he said improv changed his life. And so we kind of want to ask that first and hopefully have it lead into a really deep conversation, obviously on that subject, but then also want to give him to give advice of like people just going into the world, trying to make it in any career field, not just acting or improv. And that's kind of the umbrella of our whole podcast, would be having different guests come on and kind of give advice or motivation or inspiration to basically pursue your dreams or trying to get a job kind of stuff.
So tips for success in life kind of
Yeah. More about, exactly. Like life advice, you know, like a feel good kind of inspirational, you know, let's talk about how to be better people and navigate this world kind of podcast, you know.
And you're fairly confident he won't say like, well, I don't know, it's not my job to tell people how to live their lives, because that would suck.
We are not confident in that. We're hoping to have some backups. And I think Bobby mentioned in our brainstorming last night, kind of like, just ask the first question, listen to him, and if it's not going the way we want it, then hopefully we can pull from something he said and direct it in a different direction.
Sure. And it's because it's not a live interview, it's perfectly fair on the record, you know, while you're recording, to say like, we want to focus on, you know, tips for people based on how you've created your career. You know, what can they do in trying to make it in the world? Are you, you know, do you have thoughts on that? And he might just start spilling out the thoughts, which is great. He might say like, oh yeah, that's, which is great. Or he might be hesitant, in which case you might just need to pull him out a little bit, or he might flat out be like, yeah, I got nothing on that. My guess is he's going to have something for you. I think most people aren't going to flat out say no, but it may or may not take a little groundwork, right? You may need to make it clear that like, no, we don't expect you to be Tony Robbins. We just want to get your own experiences, and we think those will help you.
We have an angle that we're gonna, that we, I at least feel pretty confident we can get something out of. And the angle is, I've heard him talk, and I've listened to a lot of interviews that he's done and done some research on the guy, and he's he's a improv, and he's the director of an improv school out in LA, and he does he seems to feel very, very strongly about improv as a way of life, and not just as an entertainment, you know, and as a way to sort of like almost as therapy. And he's talked a lot about that before. So I think that's the angle we want to hit, and just talk to him about that, and then use that as like.
Yeah, you know. No, that sounds super promising. You could even just say to him like, how can people who aren't improv learn from improv? And I bet if he's the director of an improv place, he'll just run with that.
Right.
Tom, I have a quick question for you. Yeah. What have you done in the past for difficult interviews? If you do have a difficult person you're interviewing, what tips would you give in that scenario?
It depends on the difficulty, right? If it's a person who doesn't want to talk, you just got to keep nudging them, and it's, you know, very obviously don't give them yes and no answers, because they'll just say yes or no. I don't think I'll have a problem with an improv guy doing that. The more common problem is people kind of going off in a direction you didn't expect, or getting off topic, in which case you just kind of want to steer them back. Have you decided who's conducting the interview?
Not final yet.
Okay, so
a scheduling thing, but yeah.
Yeah. Whoever does it just needs to be assertive enough that if there's a pause and they're getting off track, you pull them back in. If they're starting to say something that's crazy and you're not going to use, just change the subject.
So somebody that can go with a little bit more, almost feed off of him a little bit and guide him.
Yeah, that's going to help, because you're not doing a live interview, so that makes things a lot easier. If they get way off track, or do you know, if they're talking but just not talking about the right stuff, you can just cut that stuff out. Sure. You don't want to waste time and make the editor's job worse, but you can do that. If they're not talking at all, that's a different problem, but I don't think you'll have that problem.
Yeah. Right.
Another question that I had was, like, how much do we need to focus on the overall podcast theme and like implement that into our episode? Kind of like, do we have to preface it a lot of saying like, hey, this is our podcast theme kind of thing?
Yeah, I would come up with a good name that really gives the idea of what this is about, you know, coaches from all corners, or, you know, something like that. You want to impart to people the idea that every week you're talking to a different professional from a different walk of life about how you can improve your life. And this week we're getting tips from X person, right? In this case, it's Ptolemy. So you probably need a little bit, not a lot, of setup right at the beginning, and then make sure that you deliver on that. promise that, that you get answers and you have questions that, that are going to provide that sort of direction. But I don't think you need to spend any of the interview on that. That's just a real quick bit of setup at the top that implies this is part of an ongoing series and defines what that series is.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's good. So what if he, what, I don't know, what if he just says he hates us or something? That would be bad.
He won't do that. Don't worry about that.
Bobby, that's the voice in your head telling you that.
Here's the thing to make you feel better about that. He already agreed to do this.
Right. True.
He had his chance to say no to Ibbet and he didn't. So you're good. He's on board to do this. And as long as you don't do anything to piss him off, like insult him or, you know, press him on his personal life for celebrity gossip or something, I think you'll be fine. Yeah. You'll totally be fine.
I think, I don't know, my concerns are coming from a place of like, we're going in this deep direction and let's say we get that and we're successful with that. I don't want the judges to be like, well, why'd you do this if you have like a comedian improv guy?
Yeah.
You know?
That is a fair concern. And you're going to benefit from the fact that everybody's interviewing the same person. So they're going to want to see a different take.
Right.
They're going to want to see something that's different than what the other teams are doing. Also, he is a comedian, so he's going to be funny even when he gets deep, I think.
Right.
I could be wrong. You know, there are comedians that aren't funny in interviews sometimes, but I'm going to guess that's some of that's going to come out. And you may want to just start light for that reason to kind of encourage that to come out before, you know, and then get the questions deeper, which I think you mentioned earlier. So I think that's a good strategy for that.
Okay. Yeah.
What kind of structure do you want to use to present the interview? Because you can go from just kind of a straight edited Q&A. You could do it as more of a documentary interweaving. And then he said with bites, you could do it from a totally everything's just him talking the whole way through.
My thought, we hadn't talked a lot about it, but I know that my thought was that we just set it up at the beginning. Like we talked to so-and-so about this and then it's just us having a conversation with him.
Yeah.
Okay. So pretty much Q&A.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. As long as you're setting it up that way, it's an easy edit. It's sometimes gives you less flexibility to get what you want from them. If you're conversational, you'll get it.
Let's listen in on their work sessions.
And I do get the feeling that we can get him, that it's not going to be hard to get this guy to talk.
Yeah. Oh no, I think he is primed to just wing whatever the three teams throw at him, which is kind of going with my gut instinct last night of that we can structure it, and I think being able to at least understand what questions we're going to ask are super important. Yeah. They're like, I don't think we can have too many questions that we can have in a like formatted like document like this, but I feel like he is going to throw us some curveballs, and something that's going to benefit us is being able to go with those curveballs and not edit those out. How do we get him to go further than just baseline bullshit answers?
Yeah. And I think like part of that is just hitting on his passionate, like what is really his pinpoint with his passion? Because like if someone is interviewing me and says like, why are you so passionate about mental health? Like I could talk for 15 minutes really deeply about that. Obviously mental health is different than improv, but like if we, maybe it's as simple as just asking him like what makes improv so important to you, or like what do you want people to know about it? Or
improv has often been described as certain improv groups have been described as almost Scientology based, where they have to buy into these levels to learn more improv. And obviously, like, BoJack Horseman kind of spoofs it in their, stuff, that it's led by this person that's just basically a pyramid scheme to get you more and more into improv.
I think it's also good to keep in mind, like, what do we want to get out of this? Or, like, what do we want the listeners to get out of it?
Yeah.
Like, do we want it to be an inspiring podcast where, like, we want improv students to be inspired to continue doing improv and go into acting? Or, like, you know, like, what is our purpose of interviewing him, I guess?
Yeah, that's a really good point.
And just keep that as our background question. Hello, welcome to Self Care Studio. I'm Melissa, and as usual, I have my co-hosts here with me, Bobby and Kristen.
Hey, Melissa.
Hi, Melissa.
This week, you guys went out and you got to interview Ptolemy Slocum, best known for playing Sylvester in Westworld.
Yeah, and our audience might not know, he's also a board member, director, and instructor at Ruby LA, an improv school in Los Angeles, which really plays an important role in some of the things we discussed with him.
That's awesome. And you guys were also able to get pretty deep with Ptolemy and ask him about improv and what it means to him, as well as discuss why people might have trouble celebrating themselves and their successes.
Yep. So why don't we jump right in and take a listen to the interview?
Yes, absolutely.
How are you doing, Ptolemy?
Great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely.
So your background with improv is exactly the reason we wanted to talk to you today.
Great.
I was listening to some interviews where you were talking about comedy and improv, and it was such an interesting take that you had. It might have been the first time I've ever heard someone talk about improv as sort of a self-care discipline.
Yeah.
So coming to you as someone who's heard of improv and finds the idea interesting, but maybe hasn't actually done anything, maybe is too socially anxious of a person to try it, convince me that I need to get over it and give it a try. Why should I be doing that?
Yeah, so I get, you get a lot of different types of people in class. And the one thing that you know about anyone in class is that they have appeared at a class. That is actually a helpful relationship between the two of you, because they are looking for something and you know that off the bat by them appearing. And so I would even say before you even show up, this process of you asking the question is part of the answer. Because there is a part of you that knows that there are limitations and that there's some, like, some sense of anxiety. There's some sense of a relationship to the outside world, like almost a conditioned response that you've gone through in your life. And you know that there are other ways to handle the same moments in your life. It's not, doesn't make you worse than anybody else. It's just true about us. Like, we know that at the core of us, because we're highly intelligent, highly social creatures.
Right.
You ultimately know why you want to take improvisation, and you ultimately know why you would go there. You just have to take those same impulses, the thing that would make you ask me the question in the first place, and just stay with them, stare at them, process them, and walk forward toward them instead of walking away from them. See, you have a relationship to yourself that is not okay, honestly. Like, you think that there's a part of you that isn't enough, or that could be better, or that, you know what I mean? Like, you're even the way that you speak to yourself has this relationship of, like, do you remember how you were, like, phrasing it originally?
Yes.
So that sense of, like, am I not enough? That whole thing, like, that's shit you can get rid of. I think my job as a teacher is to get you to the point that you are absolutely comfortable with yourself.
Well, yeah, hopefully. As a self-care kind of a thing, I've heard you say before, for example, that improv saved your life.
Can you expound on that a bit?
I mean, yeah, that's my that was a personal experience. But okay, because I'm dealing with this, like, currently. But I was I'm refacing these things, which is fascinating.
Yeah.
So I had a manic break. So I had a psychotic break. Then I was in an institution for a while, like a couple weeks. So probably not the kind of thing that you were asking about, but let's go through it.
No, yeah, please. It's, if that's okay.
Then I got back on my feet and I couldn't do creative things anymore. I was too afraid of my own brain. And there was this side thing that was improvisation, which is like not necessarily activating the thinking part of your brain, but activating the action part of interactive and partaking in scenes. Yeah, and it allowed me to come out of this sense that I was not safe with myself or that I couldn't do creative things. And it's okay. Like, you can just be, just stay here in the moment and let it come out of you.
Right.
And it created a new relationship to my own creativity. And it allowed me to believe in myself again and trust myself. And through that process, I kind of reestablished my relationship to creativity.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. It's such an important relationship for a lot of people to have. It makes me wonder, why do you think so many people find their own story to be so boring or uninteresting? And how do we get people to appreciate where they are and acknowledge their own accomplishments?
For us personally, most of what we witness are other people. And most of what we put ourselves below the things that we see, because the things that we see, we're not experiencing the anxiety that it takes to appear at all. And this is the true danger of something like Facebook or Twitter or whatever, is because it removes the under structure of expression of how painful that all of our personal experiences are. And it just coats the very top, the things that come out of it's kind of like looking at a wave. If you're just looking at the top of the wave, you don't understand how many things are going on underneath it.
All the superficial things.
Yeah. And so we can experience all the positives and then remove the process or how difficult or how challenging things are. And it looks so easy for everyone else. So they must not be going through the same struggles that I'm going through. Or they must not be experiencing the same anxiety that I'm going through. This is what's so fantastic about early improv classes is – like, look around you. Every single person here is just as confused and struggling just as much as you are through these things.
Right.
But you do not see that. You see your own experience. You don't see what's happening with other people. And it's a great opportunity to like bring up topics like that.
Yeah. And you bring up social media. Do you think that's sort of a factor that hinders us in like celebrating ourselves and being in the moment with ourselves? Like just celebrating ourselves.
Well, I think social media cuts in both directions, because the things that it actually celebrates as a positive are the things that don't, you know, like this gets into a definition term, but I like your use of the term celebration, because it's not actually a celebration of you. It's a celebration of your success. So it's an activity or a thing oftentimes. And what you're reinforcing there are the things that came out of you are positive instead of you yourself. And so there are very few social medias where it's like, you are okay exactly the way you are, and that is worth celebrating. And so it cuts in both directions, because it shows everybody else's positive. So then you can, by comparison, look badly at those. But it also reinforces the exact thing that's leading you away from stability, from leading you away from stillness, the ability to be okay as who you are. So it almost like reinvests in this poor cycle.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's all this one-upsmanship that goes on, and it kind of reinforces that cycle.
Yeah. Even the things you're proud of can be killing you if you're proud of the wrong thing.
Speaking of, we talked about social media and all these things. How do we use these things to celebrate and push our lives in the direction of
positivity?
Yeah. And celebrating our achievements and stuff like that.
Anything that is leading you toward being okay with yourself is going to be correct. And anything that suggests to you that you need something or that you are not complete is not the answer. And you can feel the difference in you in the way that you react to it, because one causes a sense of like stillness and okay, and the other causes a sense of like, oh, there is something yet to be done. And both of these items will betray us, and both of these items can actually lead us to the answer, including social media, including improvisation. It is all how it's all paying attention to what is it doing to you right now? And is that okay for you? It's either poison or it's a gift. Some people can watch the same thing. Like, I think we fill our eyes and our mind with so much poison if we allow it, and we get so used to it that we kind of punish ourselves with social media. Or we can use it as an example of like, hey, I'm okay exactly the way I am. And that is the only path that we can follow.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that really actually summarizes everything we've been talking about so far so well. Ptolemy, I think you have convinced me to take an improv class.
Good. Take a good one. And if it's not working for you, get out of it, because you're more important than improv also.
Wow, that was a really amazing interview. He touched on a lot that I agree with and have actually thought about myself.
Yeah, I'm still reeling from it. It got really personal.
Well, that wraps it up for this week. Join us next week when we talk to Georgia Hart Stark from the podcast My Favorite Murder about her mental health and life balance.
So from all of us here at Self Care Studio, we will see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was Self Care Studio, the submission for Interview Week from Stick Figure Squad. On the next episode, we'll check in with Diddy, Travis, and Shane, the Banana Sock Wizards, and then we'll close out the week with the Judging and Elimination episode, where one player will go home. It's all coming up this week on America's Next Top Podcaster.